This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Today on Turnbuckle Trash, the three amigos are a team again.
Well, you slime-eating dogs, you scum-sucking pigs, you sons of a motherless goat.
Son of a motherless goat? And who are you?
Wherever there is injustice, you will find us. Wherever there is suffering, we'll be there. Line.
Wherever liberty is threatened, you'll...
Wherever liberty is threatened, you will find the three amigos.
We talk no mercy. We talk about Hell in the Cell. Zane goes to war. And what can Impact do to compete? And we have an interview with the one and only, the Super Destroyer. And Enzo Amore says, I don't know you, that's my purse.
With all my might, I kicked him as hard as I could in his testicles.
All coming up on Turnbuckle Trash.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the elders before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Oh my goodness.
Your goodness? Aren't you that good?
I've just been missing Booker T. I've been away for too long, Dave.
You have. I mean, Booker T on Monday Night Raw is doing better than he ever had. You know, now he's on Raw constantly. They got rid of David Otunga. Hallelujah. So,
Man, now if we could just get rid of Michael Cole, it'd be even better, huh? So, you're back. Are you back from Fantasyland?
Oh, yeah. The Salt Lake Comic Con last weekend.
Uh-huh. See, I tricked you. You knew exactly what I was talking about. I said Fantasyland, and you said Comic-Con.
You could call it Geekland, too. So, I mean, there are some people there that could be their own parents. I'm telling you, there's some weird people at Comic-Con.
Dave, how's the cosplay chicks, dude? Pretty good looking?
My wife's in the other room.
Oh, you can't say. Too loud.
Not too loud, but yeah. Some of them are really, really hot. But don't quote me on that one.
It's like Halloween early, huh? You know, Dave, it's a good thing I like you. I gotta tell you, man, this podunk town that I'm living in down here that we moved to, we literally have just about nothing. I mean, there's a McDonald's and a Subway. And that's the extent of our fast food.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the Subway sucks. But that's besides the point. But we have a Walmart. And our Walmart is about a third the size of your Walmart up there.
Okay.
But one thing is for damn sure, Dave. Guess what I found?
What'd you find?
Clearance, WWE action figures, and a breakaway ring.
No way.
So, here's the thing, Dave.
Okay.
You're a good friend of mine. I like you, so I did something for you.
You done something for me? What's that, my
I
man?
I bought you a Roddy Piper action figure.
Oh, cool.
and a NXT breakaway ring.
No way.
Just for you.
Thank you.
But now I got to figure out how to get them up to you, because if I ship them, it's going to cost me a fortune. But I'm coming up next month, so I might have to wait.
Yeah.
Are you going to be okay to wait, Dave?
Yep. Yeah, we can wait until we go to UCW sometime.
Well, I'm going to see you before UCW.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So, tell me, Comic-Con, no wrestling this year, dude?
No, there's usually a man that works with the WWE, and I don't know his name right offhand, but he's brought in Hulk Hogan, he brought in Ron Simmons, he brought in The Godfather. This year, I guess he didn't bring anybody in, although there was talk, somebody on a thread on the Comic-Con Facebook page said that Diamond Dallas Page was supposed to be there, but he had an opportunity to do something where he'd make more money in Europe. But he's, and you know that his ex-wife, Kimberly, lives in Park City, Utah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, she's an interior designer.
Oh, she's hot.
She was in the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, Dave, you said you're going to talk about No Mercy, right? You better not talk about No Mercy or I'm going to be mad at you.
Why?
I might have to hang up and just let you and Juice talk about No Mercy, because I don't want spoilers, dude. Some of us haven't seen No Mercy yet.
Well, we'll delay until Juice is going to be here in a few minutes and you guys can talk a little bit. And then when you are done with your part, he and I will pick it up and just keep on going, and we'll talk about some other things. So
I did have the opportunity to go up to Salt Lake. You know that I've been off social media for a while, and I'm kind of weaning slowly back into it. You know, I'd like to. I saw that War was having an event last Saturday, and I noticed. I think it was on like Wednesday that I saw it. I was like, oh, you know, I actually, for once, I'm not on call and don't have a lot going on, and the weather was not cooperating, so I thought, maybe I'll go to War. And my young boy, you know Jackson, he's 4.
Uh-huh.
He loves pro wrestling. So I made it a surprise for him. I didn't tell him we were going. I said, we're just going up to Salt Lake. Anyway, so he was really excited when we got there and he saw the ring. He's like, oh, we're at wrestling. So anyways, it was an excellent time to spend with my kid and to get away from the hustle and bustle down here. Well, it's not much hustle and bustle, but, you know, life for a minute. And War had a guest, a former WWE star. I guess he was a star. I don't know. I didn't know him very well. His name was Kazarni in the WWE.
Uh-huh.
He wrestles on the independent circuit called Sin Bodhi is his name. He's done some work with Jake the Snake. He helps out with Jake's promotion in Vegas. And I guess he does quite a bit with a lot of wrestling schools, and him and D'Lo Brown work together on a thing in Vegas where it's like a 3-day or a 5-day deal, and you can go there and they teach you how to take some bumps the first day or two and do some hip tosses and things like that, and then the last night you actually perform in front of a crowd or something like that. It's like a small class, but it's only like a 1-week wrestling class, which sounds to me like it'd be a lot of fun. It was their big draw that night. So War, we've talked a lot about UCW. We've mentioned War a little bit. A friend of ours for the show, Super D, I think he's done some stuff with War, and some of the guys from UCW have done some stuff with War. But I went to War it's been about 6 months ago, and I had a great time. I thought it was pretty well done for just a small show, and this time I went, and I was a little bit disappointed.
Why?
Well, I just I'm trying not to be critical, because I know these guys put on a show, and they're there for the fans and stuff, but I'm a fan, not family, and I would see a lot of the guys, a lot of the people there, I would imagine, are family, because there was probably only about 30 people there, but it just seemed like it didn't flow very well, and almost like they don't want to improve or want to grow. It just seemed they botched a lot of moves. You know, and I was worried a couple guys were going to get hurt because they some of the moves weren't very smooth. Some of the things didn't go over very well that they were trying to do. The promos they were cutting in the ring, you couldn't hear them. I don't know, man. I was a little bit disappointed because I think, you know, these guys work so hard and they are probably not making a dime to perform there.
Right.
And I would imagine the promotion probably doesn't make a lot of money either. I often wondered while I was there why they're not trying to advertise a little bit more, maybe put a little bit more effort in, like, not botching moves. But you've been to a lot of independent shows, and you grew up in wrestling country, so, and you've talked about some is bad shows the right word, Dave?
Oh, yeah, you can have bad shows. You know, a lot of times when you're dealing with a small independent like four, they were non-existent for a couple of years. They came back, and they've been promoting shows this summer. So you've got a lot of people that are very young. You got a lot of people that probably don't train as much as they have in the past.
I'm not trying to sound like I was disappointed in the show or that I'll never go back, or I see the potential, I guess, and you know, it's like, yeah, there wasn't a lot of spark, there wasn't a lot of excitement.
You know, that could be that it was such a small crowd that you're talking about too, you know, that sometimes it's hard to get pumped when you're only in front of 40 or 50
people. Yeah, the promoter, his ring name is the Assassin, and so it was the main event was a tag match between the Assassin and I can't remember the guy. I think the guy's name is Casey or something, like, I can't remember. I'm not very familiar with their talent, so I apologize if anybody from War listens to this or anything. I apologize. I'm not trying to botch anything. I'm not very familiar with their talent. But and then Sin Bodhi and War has a crazy looking guy with face paint and wears a top hat, and he's a big dude. And I'm not gonna lie, Dave. He moves the best and performs the best out of anybody that was there that night. You look at him and you think that is one big, slow, ugly dude. He did a great job. So the main event was pretty good. A little disappointed. The end was a roll up, and it just seemed to kind of end pretty quick. But there's a lot of good things. Jagger Lane was there. He did a great job. You know, some of the other guys put on some singles matches that we've talked to on the show. The Cliff Sims and. Did a great job, and so all in all, we had a lot of fun. You know, for being a small crowd, I love the independents, and we had a lot of fun. But like I said, I just can't help but think of how much better something like that could be. But again, I don't know the promotion side of things. I'm just speaking from a fan's point of view. Okay.
Oh, by the way, Zane. Somebody just walked in the door, and you need to talk to this person. Big wrestling fan. Hold on just a second. Let's
Teresa?
It's not Teresa.
Legendary status has now taken flight.
Wait a minute.
Please stay in your seats and keep your seat buckled.
Is it just me, or has that guy been making too many tackles without his helmet?
Hands and feet to yourself.
Wait a minute. I think I know who this is.
We will never land. Enjoy your flight.
Is this the man who gives this podcast its juice?
No.
AJ Salvason.
This is the Brown Mamba.
Oh.
Can we say that on the air, Brown Mamba? Am I allowed to say that? I think I am.
Well, see, juice,
you never
you're
know
okay.
this day and
juice,
age.
Juice, it's okay. You get a pass, dude.
Okay, don't. No, let's not go there. We should probably stop. I shouldn't even let you in. All right, let's dance, man. Zane, it's been a while since you and I have talked wrestling,
Juice,
so this will be nice.
Where have you been?
Whoa, watch your language. Children are listening to us. Where have I been? That's a great question. I think the question is, where have I not been?
Have you been, like Johnny Cash says, everywhere, man?
I love Johnny Cash, actually, so yeah, let's go with that.
I can't talk to you about No Mercy, dude.
You didn't watch it, did you?
I haven't watched it yet, dude. I'm busier than the one-armed paper hanger, dude.
You're not even that busy, okay? If your job does not allow you to watch,
watch
pro wrestling...
New yard,
you got a new yard. Yeah, cool. You got
excuses,
new house.
Excuses. What's my priorities, right?
Yeah. Remember, priorities is this. Pro wrestling, wife, lawn, home, pro wrestling.
So what you're saying is I need to get my priorities straight.
Yeah, because you...
So, dude, hey, I'm glad you're here. I haven't talked to you forever.
It's been a while.
And there's something that's been on my mind, and it's been on my mind especially a lot the last week and this week. And you're a TNA fan, aren't you?
being a TNA fan would be like being a Chicago Bears fan or being a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
But wait, is it still TNA?
Dude,
or is it?
I don't know. You know, one week it's TNA, the next day it's Global Impact, the next day it's Deep Earth, you know, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
The next week it's Ocean's 11. I mean, you never know what they're going to come up with next week.
So I want to talk to you for a sec. Something that doesn't get covered a lot from – a lot of times us fans don't think about things behind the scenes a lot. And you've been – you spent a lot of time at a radio station down in Salt Lake as a producer just recently, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know radio and TV are a little bit different, but, I mean, so you've had some experience with things behind the scenes. And so with this company that owns Impact now, is it their fault that these problems are happening? Or is this ongoing and they've just kind of fell into this or
I mean – We're not behind the scenes, so we can't really say, you know, with all certainty of which it is. I think it's a byproduct of both, Zane, and that's a great question too, by the way. Just because there's only so much that writers can do to be able to put talent, to put them in a good storyline, and from there it's like execution. So it's like a football game. The coaches will put a game plan together. They expect the players to go execute that game plan. If they don't, then I mean, that's on the players. But if the players do execute the game plan and you still come out on the losing end, then that's on the coaches. So I think we're kind of in that mixture of 50-50 right now. The writers are trying to do their part in putting the wrestlers in a situation where they can be successful to get the crowd into it, to get the storyline to explode, where you're going to have a good main event, a good finale for that storyline mode. But as a wrestler, you can only do so much. If you go by the script and you're still not succeeding, you got to turn around and look at the writer and say, hey, what are we putting together? What kind of product are we getting, you know, are we setting up? And if it comes out as negative as it has for Global / TNA Impact, then you have an issue.
What comes to my mind is back when at the fall of WCW, you know, when Turner Broadcasting was sold, the new owners, they didn't want anything to do with professional wrestling. They just kind of shoved it to the side. You know, it started going really downhill. Talent started not caring. Writers started not caring. But if I understand things right, Anthem was really excited to buy TNA, you know, wanting to put it back on the map, do some brand changing. Is it too early to say, let's just give up and move on? Or do we keep trying to polish this turd?
No, I think you have to base it off. And for the last 3 weeks, I've been watching WCW, Monday Nitro, just throwbacks, matches with Sting, with Goldberg, with NWO, with Hulk Hogan, Macho Man. The list goes on and on. And you saw why WCW dominated WWF for so long. You saw why the ratings exploded every single Monday night, where they owned everybody, including Monday Night Football. TNA just does not have that superstar impact that WCW has to be able to challenge the WWE. In fact, they're not even remotely close. They're not even on the same freaking island, if to be honest with you.
Okay, but what if we're not interested in challenging the WWE? What if TNA just kind of wants to?
Then it's not going to last.
What if they're okay being?
No, it's just not going to last. It's just not going to last. You can't have a product like that. And I've watched TNA. I've watched Global Impact, and it's you can't have that kind of a product and expect to be successful for a long term. Look, yeah, the Anthem Bottom, you know, and they're excited. They're going to put them back on the map. What are you going to do about how are you going to go about putting them on the map? Because it still goes back to TNA writers. It still goes back to the wrestlers, them executing that game plan as we spoke about earlier. And it's not going to happen. The superstar power isn't there. The writing isn't there. The execution isn't there. And the storyline sure as heck isn't there either.
So I want to read you some. So there's a guy that I follow on Facebook. Okay. He runs a professional wrestling website.
Okay.
His name is James Walsh. Dave knows James. He's friends with him on Facebook too. So I want to quote him from a while ago. He posted a Facebook page and he said, "Impact is back building from severe damage done in 2014 through 2016," which I would agree with. Says it will take time to rebuild that good will with its fans and even its skeptics. He says, "I realize that Bound for Glory won't fill a football stadium, but a solid crowd would do the company good." And he says, "Why do people want to see this company dead? I just don't get it." So I commented, you know, and I said, "I loved TNA about 7 years ago. I didn't have any idea who they were, and I found them on Spike one day just when I was surfing. And I thought at that time it was better than the WWE. When Sting was there, they had some of the old WCW guys and AJ Styles, Beer Money, the Knockouts." And I says, and then all of a sudden it just went down. And so James says, "Budgets got cut drastically to where the higher paid talent, which is also the talent people wanted to see, could not be re-signed." He said, "Sting, AJ Styles, Hogan, Bully, Devon, life, the line goes on." He says, "All left due to finances." He says, "They've got a solid product now, but it isn't as good as it was in 2012. But it's a lot better than it was in 2015. And Dave loves – Dave keeps a lot better tabs on Impact than I do. And I know they've got some really good talent there. But so why can't we just focus on things like that? Why do we have to – I'm a professional wrestling fan. I'm not a fan of like the action or the actor or the big name. You know, I like to see a good wrestling match. And so why do we have to have the star power and the big names? Why can't TNA just deal with what they have?
Oh, that is such a good question. By the way, that's a great quote too. Oh my gosh. He hits a head on the nail there. A couple of things. The thing that got WCW most in trouble, and you can watch this on their documentaries, The Fall of WCW on YouTube, according to Paul White, also known as The Giant, also known as The Big Show, said all of a sudden, as the NWO was starting to kind of form its way in, and Eric Bischoff started taking control, all the higher superstars getting paid big money. Bret
those
Hart
guaranteed contracts and stuff.
Bingo. So Bret Hart, Hulk Hogan, I believe Sting actually didn't even get one. Macho Man Randy Savage got his. Kevin Nash got his. I mean, and so really those 3-4 guys got paid handsomely while the rest were kind of just scraping along. And that's what kind of killed WCW off. I love what he said, that TNA is kind of going that same route. It's going to hurt them. Paying the high big name stars and leaving the rest out to dry. Now, to go to your question of do you need that big name high superstar? Yes, because
yes.
Look, it's I'm gonna throw a football analogy in there, so bear with me. But the Patriots don't succeed without Tom Brady. They are 0-3 right now without Tom Brady. TNA will never succeed without a high name superstar because none of those guys know how to carry a franchise. WWF had Undertaker. They had Shawn Michaels. They had – give me another big-time Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, they had big name guys who could carry the WWF during that war with WCW. WCW had Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, Big Show, Bret Hart, Sting, Lex Luger, I'll even throw in there. Those guys could carry programs, they could carry a, my gosh, you know, to be quite honest, they could carry a 3-hour show with no problem at all. WWE is barely, and I mean barely getting away with it now with their superstar Supreme. And then they got Rollins, Reigns, and they did have Cena. So you got to have that. And no one is yet to step up to the plate in TNA. No one is yet to say, hey, give me that torch. Let me just take this thing. Everyone jump on my back and let's get this thing to where it's supposed to be. I have not seen yet one quote-unquote superstar to do that. And that's what concerns me the most.
Another question is, so like, you've got ROH, and ROH has a solid product, and they've had a solid product for years. And their ROH seems to be just fine, doing their internet pay-per-views, you know, doing TV tapings, you know, having some pretty decent names and decent crowds. And they don't grow, but they don't shrink. So why can't TNA just stay consistent?
You see, now we have to go back to, again, a coach has to make a game plan. The players have to execute it. In ROH, it's a teamwork thing. The writers make a game plan. They put it together, storyline together, and then those wrestlers go and execute it, and it works hand in hand. TNA has not been able to do that. They have not been able to find rhythm within each other to make that work, and that's why it's such a huge problem. As soon as they can put a good storyline together and to match it up with a superstar who fits that storyline product, then yeah, it's gonna kick and roll and you're gonna be on your way. But for whatever reason, they're just not putting it together.
Huh, interesting. So what does TNA do now moving forward then?
Oh man, tuck your tail and just run. No, I mean, look, I mean, they'll fight it out to the end, and you got to give them credit for that. But I really think that their product, I don't even know if I dare say this. Go on a limb.
Just say it. I mean, we're fans. Why, you know, we don't care what everybody
else
thinks,
So in 3 years, TNA will be dead. By 2021, TNA will no longer exist.
Huh.
That's my opinion. Go ahead.
Is TNA good for business? Is it good to have Impact around?
No, it's not. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Like, TNA is not working. I'm sorry, but when you have to transfer networks, we have to transfer times, and you can't keep a consistent, steady time. Look, I'm gonna go back to the 90s, and forgive me, but WWF and WCW ran their exact same times on the exact same station for how many years? Because it worked. Because people bought into their system. People bought into their plan. TNA can't do that because no one's buying into it.
Huh.
And it's not going to work.
So what do you think about some of these guys that like left, and like Drew Galloway, you know, he left WWE, went to TNA, worked on his ring work, he worked on a lot of things, and he finds his way back to WWE. I mean, so what about a situation like that where And so, guys like AJ Styles. What about AJ Styles? If it wasn't for Impact, we wouldn't have AJ Styles in the WWE right now.
Sure. I mean, there's some, I mean, short story of successes around there. I think in regards of, I mean, you could use the analogy of using it as a minor league system, taking guys there to develop them, to get them better, whether it's ring work, whether it's microphone work, whether whatever it is, develop them, get them better, and then bring them back. Problem is what other product already does that?
Yeah, NXT, WWE, right?
Yeah, I mean, so they're already a byproduct of each other, and I mean, they'll send guys down, they'll bring guys up, and they'll have guys work on things, and they'll bring other superstars up, and let them become something of themselves to make them a character, or a persona that they'll see if it clicks, but TNA can't really do that. So if you're Vince McMahon, this is my own opinion, so base it as ever you wish, but you go there and you pluck the tree. You find the best ripe apples and you take them and you bring them over to WWE and you see what you can do with them. You create tag teams. You create superstars out of that. And yes, you can do that. If you put enough effort on your side and the wrestler, which I'm sure they will, put enough effort on their end, you could get something out of it. I feel like the WWE writers are better, much better, than the TNA writers. And they'll give them something to work with that will fit their persona, their character, and they'll get something out of it.
So let me tell you something before I ask you another question. Let me expound on what I was thinking when you were. I think that it would be bad for business. I like to see competition. I love it. I loved the Monday Night Wars. I like to see promotions succeed, and I want them to succeed. You know, I don't wish they would die, because let's be honest, nobody will ever. How many evers can I add to that? Topple the WWE, and nobody will honestly ever compete on the exact same scale as them. It would be nice to have an alternative that you could turn to when you were sick and tired of 30-minute promos and 14-hour pay-per-views, and when somebody like me says, good hell, I just want to watch an hour and a half of television of good storylines and good wrestling matches and not 45-minute promos and PG crap.
I agree. I mean, look, I love competition too. I mean, when you get competition, everyone ups their game, right? I mean, Vince McMahon would up his game when he was with the WWF versus WCW. I mean, he upped his game. I mean, they went and they took things to the extreme, probably over the line, if you will, and succeeded hardcore. So should there be competition? Yeah, absolutely. Problem is there's none, and you aren't getting it from TNA. I mean, look, I mean, WWE stepping up on the field, and they're not seeing an opponent. It's just, well,
and
you're not.
Especially with the launch of the WWE Network and
things like that. TNA. I mean,
and they've just – WWE's just a giant, you know, a corporate giant, and – I think that's what they'll remain to be. I don't think that anybody will ever compete with them. Do you think anybody will ever compete with them?
Yet to be seen. But I mean, no, as of right now, no.
What's next for the WWE? Do they just keep going down this path and keep growing and become an even bigger umbrella?
Yeah, like I said, I think with NXT kind of being their minor league system, and they can just take guys and filter guys in and out. They'll still continue to grow. They got the superstar power. Believe it or not, they still have it. It's just, you know, can we reignite the fire with what they have? I think the Rollins, Reigns, Ambrose group coming back together. It could help. I think that will do wonders for the WWE once again. But time will tell. We'll see. I don't know. There's no crystal ball sitting in front of me. So
yeah,
we'll see in 5 years.
So one thing I want to run past you while I'm thinking while we're kind of talking about, you know, ROH and TNA and things like this. So, you know, NXT has been extremely popular for WWE, and the way they've been able to market it and the way they've been able to, and I think most wrestling fans know that NXT was created to basically put TNA and ROH out of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So, which I mean, I think it's good business. I mean, it's a good plan for Vince and Hunter, but it sure it sucks, man. I just want to see. Sometimes I just want to see a decent, an alternative. You know, I just miss the Monday Night Wars. Sure. I guess we'll never have them again.
It'll be really hard to find it ever again, like what we did in 97 through 2000.
So, anything else as far as what else is on your mind without spoilers?
You missed a good No Mercy.
If you spoil No Mercy for me, I'm going to be so mad at you.
Well, it's your fault for not watching it.
I'm going to watch it.
Fetch. You have one job. Watch No Mercy.
Juice.
No, it was really good. I think you'll enjoy it. A couple of surprises were caught me by surprise, and Dave and I are gonna hash over it, break it down. You know, what do we like, what do we hate? But for the most part, I was actually quite enjoyed by it, and We'll get ready for Hell in a Cell, which is always a treat. So.
Oh, Hell in a Cell is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's a good one. It should be a good one again.
So, well, Juice, thanks, man. Man, that was a great discussion. It was almost like we, you know, old friends reunite and they don't even miss a beat, right?
Let's be careful on using the friends term. Let's just.
Whoa! Ouch! Ouch! Juice.
Acquaintances. Say it with me, acquaintances.
Oh, man.
Say it now.
I'm not going to say it. Put Dave back on the phone, or I'm going to be so mad at you.
You're going to be so mad at me? Sounding my wife.
Hey, dude, thank you so much. I thought that was a really great discussion on TNA, and I loved your point of view on a lot of – your input and your experience from working behind the scenes in broadcasting I think has added a lot to this podcast. So thanks for your input.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Juice, it's been great talking to you. I'm going to talk to Dave one more time, and then you guys get to talk No Mercy without me.
I'll give you to Dave.
Good discussion there, my man.
Yeah, Dave, so real quick, so give me just the real quick Dave Denton rundown from what you took away from that conversation between me and Juice on what are your thoughts on the shortened version of TNA moving forward?
Well, to be honest with you, the TNA, Impact, Global Force, whatever you want to call them, I know you guys talked about they're changing the name so much. That is one of the real problems. They can't get focused, and they need to just say, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, and this is not going to change no matter what, and minus a lawsuit by somebody that they say they have to. Then they have to be more consistent with their product. Get a better TV deal than Pop, or work towards getting a good streaming deal. They've been announcing a streaming, but it's been inconsistent. They need to promote themselves a little bit better. They're starting to tie in with AAA a little bit out of Mexico and a couple other Lucha promotions out of Mexico. That's the way they're going to stay pertinent and relevant. And they need to develop their own stars and notice when they have a star and keep him. Like what happened with AJ Styles. They let him go. Big mistake. He went to New Japan first, and now he's a huge star in the WWE. Then you've got the glorious Bobby Roode. He's now on the SmackDown Live roster. They need to find their own stars, keep them, and build them up, get them TV deals, get them movie deals, get them on the talk shows a little bit, talking about their pay-per-views. I know they do that a little bit, but they don't do it enough. And then, frankly, talk to people like us, you know, Turnbuckle Trash. Yeah. They should fall over backwards to be able to put one or two of the wrestlers on a small podcast like ours and just say, hey, you know, we're going to talk to Robbie E, or we're going to talk to somebody else that's in the Impact world. That's the way they're going to do it. They're going to have to do it grassroots. They're going to have to be consistent. And that's the only way they're going to stay pertinent.
So one other thing I was thinking of that I want to run past you before I let you and Juice take over. It's okay for friends and podcasts to disagree, right, Dave?
Yes, it is.
So, sorry, Juice, I got to disagree just a tiny bit.
He's disagreeing with you, Juice.
But it's okay, because I'm going to ask Dave this question, too. So Juice said that TNA doesn't have the talent right now or the big names, but I want to read some names off to you and then tell me what you think, if those are big names or if they can develop into big names, because these are people that you've talked about before that you really like. Mm-hmm. Eli Drake,
you got to say it right. The champion right now, potential. Got great mic skills, good worker in the ring. I like what they're doing with him right now.
EC3.
You know, he was Derek Bateman when NXT was doing their competition type stuff. He's been a star. He could be even a bigger star than he is, worked properly.
Okay, now somebody that's been around Impact for a long time, and he's really well known in Impact, but is he a star, Abyss?
They don't know what to do with him. Because when Crazy Steve left and now is in NXT, he was with Rosemary and Abyss. And now he's doing the Joseph Park thing again, which is just really silly because everybody knows it's Abyss. I just don't think he's a big star. He's going to be a wrestler that can have a program with somebody.
Like a mid-card, like a good solid mid-card type of guy.
Good solid mid-card that's going to put over a face and make them look good.
Okay. Now, here's a name that I don't know why is not just absolutely on fire in the media and in professional wrestling news, Bobby Lashley. I mean, the guy's a brute. The guy can wrestle. The guy's athletic as all get out. The guy can talk pretty good. I mean, why is Bobby Lashley not like in somewhere like the WWE? Or if he's in TNA, why is he not being pushed more as a star?
He was the champion for several months. This MMA thing that he does, you know, the mixed martial art fighting that he does also, yeah. I think overall it's hurt him, although they're working that into a storyline right now. If they can work that correctly and get some publicity through him with maybe taking on another big line star in that world and then bringing him into the wrestling world and having that be part of a pay-per-view or something, that's the way Bobby Lashley is going to be a bigger star than he is. I just don't see him having the charisma that he needs.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go with this guy. Former WWE superstar, former Lucha Underground, somebody who supposedly put Lucha Underground on the map. What about Johnny Mundo, or Johnny Impact, as he's called now?
I don't like the name Johnny Impact, but, you know, he's getting a huge pop from the crowd. I think with what's going on now with Lucha Underground and the stuff he's getting from there, then he's gotten a lot of publicity, good and bad, for what's happened in the AAA promotion with his now fiance, Taya, who's also in Impact Wrestling. And he was, he's somebody you could build around because he's starting to do things in Hollywood. He's starting to get a bigger name for himself. And if they work him right and make him, quote, the face of the company for a while, he could really put them on the map.
I haven't watched Impact for a while, Dave, so forgive me. I know, I've seen some highlights and we've talked before. It's probably been, how long you and I been doing this together now? Are we going on 3 years now?
We're going on 3 years now, yeah.
So I remember when we very first started doing this, we were both watching TNA really heavy at the time, and the knockouts were just kicking ass.
Yeah, they were really head over heels above the divas at the time for WWE. They were getting really good traction with their knockouts. And then they started the women's movement over WWE, and a couple of people left, not necessarily to go over to WWE, but left wrestling. Gail Kim was injured for a little bit. Taryn Terrell, who was great when she had the dollhouse. I loved what she was doing with the dollhouse. She had some personal issues she had to deal with, and they had some other issues with, like, the beautiful people. Madison Rayne and Angelina Love. Angelina was actually wouldn't let back in the country from Canada for some reason for quite a while. So there were some things that went against them. And, you know, face it, Impact, TNA, Global Force, they've been snake bit for several years now. Several years. They just, every time they get some traction, something happens. And it's like two steps forward and four steps backwards.
What do they do? I mean, I asked Juice that question, but now let's hear from Dave. Just consistency or what?
Consistency, building the product. They need their wrestlers to make personal appearances. They need to be doing as many interviews with as many podcasts as they possibly can, trying to get on the TV talk shows about their events, even in the smaller towns. Let the other wrestlers, let the ones under their contracts, let them do some side shows. Let them say, let's say that Johnny Mundo came to Salt Lake City to be part of the UCW. They could say Impact Star Johnny Mundo or Johnny Impact is going to be in Salt Lake City. you saw what happened when Rey Mysterio came to
Oh, yeah.
There was like almost 1,200 people there that showed up.
We couldn't even find a seat. And
that's right.
I think they oversold the event. And I don't think they turned people away, but there was people standing, Dave. Right.
Exactly. So that's the way you do it. You got to promote your product. You've got to be consistent, and you've got to get the wrestlers, the performers, let them be who they are. Mm. Don't give them a character and say, well, now you're going to be a little kid. You're going to have the mentality of a 14 or 15-year-old boy who's going to oogle all the girls. No, you let them be what their personality is. If they're a quote badass, let them be a badass. If they're a really nice guy that's got a great sense of humor, let them use that. Give them the basic storyline, let them go with it, and work with the talent as writers. And that's the way they're going to survive. I'm not saying they're going to win, but they're going to survive.
So will they ever compete with the WWE?
No.
No?
No.
Not even a little bit?
Not unless... Here's my big unless. If something can be worked out between the Anthem Sports and Sinclair Broadcasting, and then if they worked on a deal that included AAA and maybe one other like New Japan, and they worked all together and shared talent, kind of like in the old NWA days, shared some talent, let somebody go to another place for a year or two, build up a reputation. Look what the WWE's done with the talent they brought in from New Japan. AJ Styles, the guys from the club, Finn Balor. They always talk about them wrestling in Japan. They talk about them wrestling in Japan. You don't hear them say they wrestled for ROH.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't hear them say, well, they were on Impact. They'll say something like, but that, if they can work out some sort of deal, not ownership, just the deal where they can share talent and cross-promote a little bit, I could see it working a little bit better.